The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, this is Pentecost Sunday, and we're off to a good start. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And this is not the text we're going to preach from this morning, but it is a text that we're going to use to lay foundation to give us understanding what do we even mean when we say Pentecost Sunday. So, chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Acts. I'll read it and then comment on it a little bit, and then we'll move into preaching. Right now I'm teaching. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just a little bit of an understanding. The word Pentecost was actually used by Greek-speaking Jews for many years. And it simply meant 50 days, or the 50th day. 50 days from the Passover to a harvest feast. And it was the 50th day. And they would celebrate, it was to celebrate the harvest. And we know that Jesus, after his ascension, spent 40 days with the disciples. How many of you think that the Jews began to get it? You think that after Jesus was crucified and they realized, wait a minute, that was Passover. I wonder what's going to happen on Pentecost. So he says to them, not many days from now. The reality is, it was exactly 10 days. He had been with them 40. It says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, not a new word, not a Christian word yet. It is now, but it wasn't yet. When the day of Pentecost, that feast which celebrated the harvest, which was 50 days, 40 days with Jesus, 10 days of waiting in the upper room. It says that they were sitting. I want to suggest that they might have been eating when the Holy Spirit fell. I know we like the picture of them begging and pleading with God and earnestly screwing up their face and praying. But they may not have been. They were to wait. And they may have been, and if it makes you feel better about Peter and the guys that they were really in intense prayer, then they were. But I don't know that we know that. I just got to believe, out of 120 people, one of them must have figured out Pentecost. I wonder. He honored the Passover with his death. I wonder what God's going to do on Pentecost. And I don't know if they knew or if they saw it coming or not, but it was sudden anyway. Suddenly. And God visited. But what I want us to take into where we're going this morning is the purpose for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism simply, it means what it means in water baptism. It means to be immersed, to be fully saturated. It means to be pickled. It means to be totally influenced and surrounded by whatever it is. Water, in this case, it is the Spirit. So they were to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we know that when they were, they called it, you know, and Luke writes and says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want us to go to verse 8 and just realize the purpose of that baptism, Jesus said, was to receive power to be his witnesses. Last time that we had opportunity to preach, we talked about the awesome opportunity we have to have a joy that is resident within us always, because we know that we get to go to heaven and we know that we're going. We know our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I've got to tell you something, you're not dead yet. There is golf in heaven, but none of you are scheduled to tee off tomorrow morning. I don't believe. We hope. And so the reality is that there's more to serving God and there's more to the kingdom of God than the coming kingdom and heaven. Now the reality is, I've said it. It's probably a silly thing to say, but I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I'm going to start living it now. And there is some truth to that. And yet we cannot even begin to get our head around or our heart around what heaven is like or how awesome it is. And yet I do believe we can just see glimpses of it. I believe there's times like we had this morning when it's just a little glimpse. I mean, a speck of what heaven is like. Sometimes at gatherings, maybe you haven't seen someone for a long time. And you realize, ooh, this is what heaven is going to be a little like. Just a brother or a sister who even though you haven't seen them for years, you still know that's my brother, that's my sister. We could pick up right where we left off in the Spirit. I know where they are in the Lord, and they know where I am in the Lord. So there is those types of glimpses, but the reality is we'll never know what it's like to be in heaven. But we do have a responsibility while we're here. Andrew Murray said this, "The Christian mission is the only reason to be on earth. It's the only good reason to be on planet earth is because we have a mission, we have an assignment." And the truth is that it's God's job to bring me to heaven. It's my job to bring him to earth. See, that's the reality. And he's already taken care of getting me to heaven. And we talked a little bit last time we talked about this. I get the privilege of storing up treasures in heaven. And there are rewards that are in this life and the life that is to come. But the truth is that God gets me to heaven. But I have the mission and the responsibility. And Ken Beaudry preached it here on May 21st. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the CD. And he put forth a question on the table. What is your kingdom assignment? And we'll talk more about that. But the reality is the baptism of the Holy Spirit was to empower us to do our kingdom assignment. We need to understand that. We need to understand even what happened here this morning. Some of you were pretty happy. Some of you were pretty tingly. Some of you were Well, I got news for you. That's not the purpose. It's not about... It's about being witnesses. Now, it's good to take a drink as long as you're filling up. I mean, you can't pour something into a vessel without the vessel getting wet. But the reality is it's about much more than that. So when we take a drink, we need to realize we're taking a drink for ourselves and someone else. And chances are it may not be in here. It might be out there. And so there's an empowerment that comes. And some of us here this morning might say, well, I just can't. No, of course you can't. You need to fill up. You need to get drunk. Peter stands up and says, "These aren't drunk as ye suppose." Why would he say that? Because they were acting silly. Why? Because they were They were baptized, they were immersed, they were saturated, they were intoxicated with that which was of the spirit rather than that which is of the natural.
Amen.
But just because they were drunk doesn't give any excuse for stupidity. But it does give an understanding of why, when we get in the spirit, that the things of the natural are a little hazy. That's why sometimes you'll see Pastor Dave or myself leading a service, and it's like, okay, I got to get back in the natural and do something like an announcement or something. And I mean that literally. Marcy will tell you, sometimes it's not good for me to drive after a service. Yeah, it doesn't have to be after a service, I guess. But if I've got something stirring on the inside of me, I'm less focused on the road than I should be. So if you see me coming, get out of the way! Okay, so we just want to lay that historical foundation. But there was a Pentecost, and there was something that now is precious to the church, and it happens to line up with the Jewish calendar, and I think that's awesome. But it is the 50th day from Easter to Pentecost Sunday, which is today. 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49, in case you missed that. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, because that's historical and that's wonderful. So that happened to them. Big whoop. Okay. Way to go, Peter. I'm happy for you. But what about you and I? Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 15. Oh, I'm sorry, beginning at... Yeah, that's right. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The exhortation of the scripture there, if we can go back to verse 15, is be filled with the Spirit. It is in the manner in which it is written, it is constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ever overflowing, ever being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another. We need to, as it was on the day of Pentecost, so it is now. Your being filled with the Spirit, me being filled with the Spirit, is not just a personal singular thing, it's a corporate thing.
Right.
Now, thank God for our own individual times. But God is always, the Spirit of God is always bringing community. On the day of Pentecost, that community grew from 120 Galilean hillbillies, and I say that because that's how they were regarded by everyone else. They were Galileans. And that's why the crowd was so shocked, because they were speaking all kinds of different languages, and it's like, where did these people... How do these hillbillies do this? All 120 of them were. That's amazing to me. And let's remember that because it was Pentecost, Jewish Pentecost, the city was full of people from all over the place, all nations, all around surrounding area, because they were to come for the feast, for Pentecost. Isn't God smart? But notice it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It involves us. That's what we were doing this morning. We were encouraging one another. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you were encouraged by the shout of someone to your left or to your right?
Haman was encouraged by the song of someone to your left or to your right. That's all we did this morning, by the way, is just sing spiritual songs. There was no songbook. But there was the flow of the Spirit. And it's for the benefit of the all. And it's not about thrills and chills. It's about community, and it's about serving other people. I think it's no coincidence that before Paul writes and says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church," he first says, "Get drunk." I'm sorry, get filled with the Spirit. I can tell you from personal experience, it is much easier to love my wife as Christ loved the church if I've been drinking. If I'm filled with the Spirit. And I know that she could say it's much easier for her to submit to me if she's been drinking. If she's filled with the Spirit. And please, if the whole analogy of drunkenness and drinking is a little bit of a tender spot in your psyche or in your heart because you maybe grew up around that, please, we don't want to make light of that because I do understand that. But yet the Scripture makes it clear that it is a sin. In a sense, it's a spiritual intoxication. And I'm just saying, I'm a way better husband and lover if I'm intoxicated on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to be careful that we don't... I'm not celebrating drunkenness in the natural. But before Paul gives any direction for marriage, he says be filled with the Spirit. Before he gives direction for parenting, I'm just going on down into the next. We don't have time to go there, nor do we need to. Before he gives any instructions on parenting, it's all under the umbrella of be filled with the Spirit. It's way easier. He gives instructions about masters and slaves, and I'm just going to assume that there's no one here that has any slaves at home. So I want to, but I think we can apply it to vocation and to relationships on the job, so to speak, and just vocation and neighbors and all that. It's way easier to get along with your neighbors if you're just filled with the Spirit. I mean, if you're just effervescent and bubbling with the presence and the life of God. Have you ever noticed how when the presence of God comes into a room, there is such a softness and such a gentleness, and even hard men get soft? Might even cry. Might laugh, might dance. But the presence of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, brings a softness. A memory comes to mind. The kids' camp that is coming up is at Sandhill Bible Camp up in Foston, Minnesota, which is where we were water baptized 35 plus years ago. And I remember one night, Renee was about, well, when we first went there, she was 1 and a half. But we went there for several years with a church from here in town, Faith Fellowship. And we helped with youth at that camp once we moved down here and all that. But anyway, one night we're walking, Renee's, I think, 5. And we're walking up the hill. We gotta go to that camp. Anyway, we got to go back there because there's a hill. I want to see if the hill is as big as I think it was. And I want to see if it's where I think it was. But anyway, we're walking up the hill. We're going back to our tent or our cabin. I don't remember where we were staying on that particular summer. And we're walking with Renee, and she begins to cry. And I thought, oh, someone's been picking on my little girl. And she's sobbing. And so we stopped walking. I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "The Holy Spirit touched me." And she had been filled with the Holy Spirit in this kids' class. And she was so softened and so, not that she was always soft, but I'm just using that as an example. When the Holy Spirit is active in the room and moving, there's a softness and there's a gentleness. And there's a, I don't know, comfort or... That's what he promises us to be, doesn't he? Under that umbrella of being filled with the Spirit, not only does Paul talk about marriage, not only does he talk about raising children and how to parent, not only does he talk about, you know, vocation and relations with others around us, but he talks about our relationship or lack of one with the adversary. And I think even that, it is learning and knowing how to deal with the attacks of the adversary, and that's what he's talking about there, where it talks about putting on the armor of God. It is easier to do if you're filled with the Spirit. Now, when I use the phrase filled with the Spirit, I don't mean what took place back in whenever. I mean, that's initial, but it's got to be more than that. We need to constantly be filled with the Spirit. So on the 21st, Ken left you with a question. And again, if you weren't here, and I would encourage you to listen to that message, you can listen to it online for free at livingwatersmn.org. You can download it if you want to, or just listen to it online. But he preached an awesome message on our kingdom assignment. And he put a question out, what is your kingdom assignment? I want to put another question out to you this morning. When's the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit so that you might fulfill your kingdom assignment? Do you, and I'm challenging you a little bit, do you make time and set aside time to be filled with the Spirit? That was our encouragement to us this morning as God was in the room. Making sure that... See, sometimes we can be so focused on giving out that we forget to take in. And our giving out can get really dry. Do I want to say this? I'll have to live by this. I want to suggest that if we find are those times when that we are dry in the work of the ministry, we need to have a drink. And we may need to step aside from ministry for a little bit and we may even need to have a weekender or something. I'm just saying. We may need to really just set aside the time. I want you to notice that both in the book of Acts and here in this text, this whole discussion takes place around time. The days are evil, redeeming the time. In the book of Acts, the disciples ask, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom? I do know this. Being filled with the Spirit requires that we make room for it, that we give time to it. Now, the truth is that, and we saw it demonstrated very well here this morning, I think, the truth is that you may get filled with the Spirit in a totally different way than the person to your left or to your right. And you need to know that's okay. How we drink of the Spirit, how we draw in, we are unique, and we need to give ourselves permission to be us. We need to give each other permission to receive from God, and in a time like we had this morning, for people to be free to be themselves and to engage the Spirit of God. I put forth an encouragement to take a drink. We need to be at liberty to drink the way we drink. We need to be at liberty to eat the way we eat. We need to be, I'm speaking spiritually now, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. We need to be at liberty to receive from God the Father and from the Holy Spirit in the way that is uniquely us. I've learned this. People receive differently. Some of you receive by an atmosphere like we had this morning of worship. Some of you could receive the same thing, but in an atmosphere of silence or solitude. Some of you could receive the same thing from an atmosphere of just time in the Word, letting it get inside of you. There's all kinds of ways in which we receive. And my question to you is not a trick question. My question is simply this. Do you set aside time to just be filled? Moms, do you set aside time to be filled? Dads, do you set aside time to be filled? To fill up whatever that looks like for you. I personally think you can fill up in a fishing boat. I do. Oh, I knew some of you'd love that. But it's true. Some of you fill up, I know, some of you fill up in a deer stand. Can't understand it. I mean, if it's cold out. But there's all kinds of different ways in which it's being filled of the Spirit. It's being filled. But when that happens, we need to know that there's an empowering that's going on to be someone other than ourselves and to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are called to be ambassadors. Now, so the reality is we are called to be filled and then we're called to go leak. In the same way that we, you know, are unique in how we fill up, we are also unique in the way we leak.
That's right.
And we need to know that too. Because some of you can feel like you're a second-rate citizen because you don't leak like everybody else around you leaks. Get over it. Be you. Be that expression. Be the ambassador of Christ. Be that fragrance in the way that you are that fragrance. My encouragement to you is not to be like this or to be like that. My encouragement, however, is to be filled with the Spirit that you have something to give away. And my suspicion, in fact, I know this to be true, you are way better at it than you realize you are. You just need to be yourself in your sphere. And you need to carry that fragrance of Christ. That's all. And you don't need to carry a big, 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 big Bible. I don't see any around here. You don't have to carry a Bible at all. You are the written Word of God. It's inside of you. You are the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among men. And you are filled, and so you are carrying. But understand this, you are carrying something that is way bigger than you and way more awesome than you. Some of you, people like you, and you assume it's you, and I'm here to tell you. Apart from Christ, apart from Christ, people might not like you at all. But there's a fragrance and there's a residence of the person of Jesus Christ living within you. And so we need to be free to leak the way we want to. Over the years, I've become aware that particularly in the charismatic church, there are a lot of, I don't know how to say this. Well, I do, but I don't know if I have the guts to say it. I've noticed that There can be a lot of frustrated preachers or teachers or ministers. And there's a desire to do the work of the ministry in the church, and there just isn't enough room for that. And I want to suggest to you that that ministry is not just for in the church, and it's for out there. And what you can do in here, you can do out there. Now, I realize it's a little harder to do it out there. I realize the church affords a building, it affords a platform, it affords a lot of things. But the true work of the ministry is out there. Ken made a statement when he preached a few weeks back, and I believe it to be true. The revival that is going on and already is going on right now is going on in the marketplace.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean there isn't stuff happening in churches. That's wonderful. But the reality is, I don't come to church to get to heaven. I come to church to be encouraged and to be equipped to help others get to heaven. And so it is with you. Our reason for getting together is, even as we just read, to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart together to the Lord. And all of that, when we build and encourage one another. But our audience can be a whole other group.
Yeah.
And some of you need to learn how to leak in your home. By that, I mean you need to turn your home into a church.
Come on.
That's a good word.
That's right.
You need to, not all of you. I said some of you, because for some of you, that'd be death. It'd be like, oh, God, no. Well, then don't do it. That's right, God, no. But for some of you, that'd be God, yes. Your home is a tremendous place and opportunity for you, where you have total authority to bring in the presence of God and to invite in people and to minister in any way that you would like. And your home can become a wonderful tool for the work of the ministry. My only encouragement to you is get filled up first.
Amen.
So that what you have to offer is something that is life. But I know this, you can do it. Now, that's not true for all of you, but it's true for some of you. The church was born in the marketplace. It was born in the streets. That which happened in the upper room spilled out into the streets. And so we have a privilege and an ability to take the filling that we receive from God and give it away. So I just want to challenge you gently. Make time to be filled.
Yeah.
And envision, get in your psyche and in your heart that time of getting filled is for you, but only till you're to the brim, and then take on a little more.
Yeah.
For someone else.
Good.
And recognize that your times with God, intimacy produces children. Your times with God are about you and Him, and oh, it's so precious. But there are so many others who don't know the preciousness. And so we have a mission, and we have a kingdom assignment. And it is a kingdom assignment. It's not a church assignment. It's a kingdom assignment. Where's Rick? Come on up, Rick. I can tell you this, Rick leaks.
That was awesome. Good morning. I'll keep this under an hour, I promise. No, I'm just kidding.
You'll keep it under 3 minutes.
No, I know. That was phenomenal. Thank you. I've had goosebumps ever since this morning. I mean, it's just, I keep thinking it can't get any better in my life, and then it does. Yeah. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. We prayed with, we went to, where'd we go? Wild West Days in Zimmerman. And I've been praying for a motorhome so we can travel in different fairs and stuff. And somebody gave us one, so we took it there and used it for our little headquarters. And it was awesome. And we prayed with, Tim asked me coming in, he said, how many did you pray with? And we said, 267. And I'm like, yes. And then he told me something that was really cool. He said he prayed with 13 this week. He drives a truck and delivers food, and he prayed with 13 people while he was on his routes. And I mean, how amazing is that?
Amen.
But then we were in Culver's Wednesday night, and we walked in. Carolyn was with. We went and visited Emily, and then we walked in, and we got our food or our cup and a little number. We're going to sit down, and some guy looks at me. And he had a big smile on his face, and then he starts talking to his wife. And I'm figuring there's probably something, was an encounter between us at some point, because it wasn't normal. And she got really excited, and I finally said, well, I got to go figure out what's going on over here. So I asked him, I said, so do we know each other? And then he reminded me where I met him, and it was at somebody's work. And the boss is a friend of mine. The owner of the place is a friend of mine. And he was just, at that point, I can't remember if I led him to the Lord or if he's just a little baby Christian. But he was really nervous because I asked him. He had lymphoma, and he was about pretty close to dying. And he was no hair and all of that. And I asked him if I could pray for him. And he looked really, he was like really nervous and that. And we prayed. And I felt like he got healed, okay? But I never talked to him after that. Now he said it's 10 years later. And he said, so what happened? He said, man, right after you prayed, boom, it was gone. I went to the doctor.
Amen. Amen.
He said, I went to the doctor and it was gone. And they were trying to figure out what happened. And so... It was really exciting. And it was, like I said, as a little baby Christian at best, and that was half scared to death that I was praying for him, but praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
And then one, I still got like 30 seconds.
Yes, you do.
We were at, this is going to get emotional. We're at Wild West Days. We were there Thursday. No, I'm sorry. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Okay? Saturday, three people came up and grabbed me and hugged the stuffings out of me and thanked me for saving their life because they were all three suicidal. And I led them all to the Lord. And this is over. And then prayed with them, and they got set free from it. And then Sunday, another guy grabbed me, and I had prayed with him. He got in a car wreck. He was drunk and killed his best friend in a rollover and went to prison and all kind of stuff. And when I met him, he was going to kill himself, and he prayed with me to accept Christ and then got set free from it. And then he told me about his mom, who I also did an intervention with her, and she was trying to kill herself, and I can't go into it because I only got like 4 more seconds. But I ended up dialing 911 and said, look, either you go with me to the hospital or you're going in an ambulance, and I'm going to show them. I had my badge with me, and I'm going to show them my badge, and I'm going to tell them to put a 72-hour hold on you. And I'll go. So she gets in, we go. I mean, she was dying. And I told her that. I said, you're dying. And it was through some drugs that she used. And I said, we got to hurry. So we get there, and the doc came out about 20 minutes later and said, which one of you saved your life? So I said, that'd probably be me. Point is, doing what you said.
Yeah.
You know,
and two little examples that came to my mind when I was sitting back there was like, do you go fill up your car and then just let it spill all over the place? No. You go use it, the gas that you bought.
Good.
And then you make sure when the thing, like I've run out of gas bunches of times because I'm too busy. And when that thing gets down closer, then you go fill up again.
Okay? Yeah, good.
But, or you do, I don't mean this pridefully, or you do like me and you just stay filled all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what abiding is. It says if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And I think we're supposed, it's not like a, the vine that's hooked to the branch, it doesn't say, okay, I'm cool now. I came for a couple hours, and now I'm going to unhook myself and go.
A good word.
It shriveled up. Right?
Good.
And then the other thing I was thinking of was a garden hose. If you keep putting more and more and more, oh, I got to back up a little bit. I got water problems at my house. My well, I don't know how to adjust it so that it's got a lot of pressure. So when I first turned it on, it just kind of pitters out of there, and it frustrating, okay? But then after a minute, the pump kicks in, and all of a sudden, okay? And that's kind of like us being connected to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're a little, we start out, and we're just kind of, okay? Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, here it comes. But God doesn't give it to us unless we're using it, unless we need it.
And good.
Yeah, so.
Amen.
And then last thing, I said this the other day. People that let fear get in the way of being used by God are making a huge mistake because, the fear is a big fat lie. And secondly, there's no experience like seeing somebody come to Christ or seeing somebody set free or seeing somebody healed and being used by God that just changes your life. It's amazing.
Amen.
So that's
good.
It.
Good job. Thank you, Rick. Amen. Now you need to be okay that you don't leak like he does. But you also can be challenged to learn how. And we're all different. The tendency is we'll not believe those stories. Because we can't do that, or don't see that we feel that we could do that, it can't be true. But it is true. But you be at peace with the way you dispense the aroma. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to be filled. And we thank you that we can take advantage of that opportunity 24/7, anywhere. We are the vine. You are the vine and we are the branch, Lord. And we can draw from you. We can abide in you. And we thank you for those times and seasons when we can get the fullness of the infilling that we need that we might give it out. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.